So we're, again, we're going to be in Bava Kama, Pei, Gimel, and Beis, but we're going to start with, before we get back to analyzing the Gemara, we're going to be using the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, the third Chelek, chapter 41. And basically there, the first paragraph, the Rambam's introducing his ideas, theory of Onshim, right? How the Torah determines what Onesh you should give to a person. So he says, the general principle is you do to the person, the punishment to the person is based upon what they did to somebody else. So if they injure the person's body, so then you injure their body. And if they destroy the person's money, so you destroy their money, right? So it's basically strict justice, pure mishpat. Pure mishpat is really you do to the aggressor or the violator or whatever, you do to the mazik, whatever he did to his friend. That's how you do pure justice. And that's his punishment. That's what he deserves. That's what he should get. But the only thing is, by money, you can forgive. The person who's harmed can forgive what was done to him. But the Rambam said the one exception is the rotzeach, the murderer. So the murderer, because of the severity of what he did, and the murderer is different than everything else, you cannot forgive the murderer. So even if the person who was the murder victim stays alive for a day or for an hour or whatever it is, and he says, I've completely forgiven my, my killer, still we can't accept his mechila, because the aretz leichupar ladam asher shafach ba kim b'dam shafcha. Because Ram quotes the pasuk is that basically you can't forgive. There's no way to forgive for the spilling of the blood, except if you kill the the murderer. And I think that means, just simple pshat, is that you can't, like, by not exacting strict justice, you're allowing the activity to continue. Like justice, like mishpat, pure mishpat, has the benefit of deterring the activity to begin with and preventing it from occurring again when you introduce strict justice. And because of the severity of murder, you can't show any kind of rachamim, any kind of mercy, by allowing him to be forgiven. Even if the victim says, I forgive it. It's like the crime is a destructive, destroys society, and it can't be treated as purely interpersonal between the murderer and the victim. When it's purely interpersonal, then you say, look, the victim is the one who was harmed. Let him forgive. Let him forgive his attacker, his murderer, the murderer, the killer. Because it's, you know, but since murder distorts society and creates like a destructive, violent society where people kill each other, that's something that we can't, you can't let the victim just be mochel because of its destruction on the rest of society. Society as a whole, you cannot, it will not forgive. You can't cover up. You can't essentially forgive the sin of murder without killing the rotzeach, killing the murderer. That's the only method. Again, you can't just isolate the interpersonal thing, but you have to deal with the society as a whole. And that demands killing the murderer. Okay, but everything else, we are allowed to isolate it down to Bein Adam L'Chavero, the two people involved. And you allow, you allow them to be Mechila. And then the Rambam says something interesting, relevant to our sugya. The Rotzeach is also relevant to our sugya. But he says that by Chovel of Ayin Tachas Ayin, so the Rambam's explained to our Shvichsav. So he says by the same thing as by Chovel, is one guy knocks out his eye, you got to knock out his eye, knock out a tooth. And the halacha is, Rambam knows the Torah Shabbat Peh very well, is it's mamon, you don't do mamish. He knows the Gemara, and Ram himself goes into the Mishnah Torah. But he says he's trying to explain the Torah Shabbat. Okay, that's his point. His job in the Mor Nevuchim is to explain the philosophy of the Tamei Mitzvahs in Torah Shabbat. And the reason why Torah Shabbat didn't write it as mamon is because there is an idea of ayin tachas ayin mamish That really is the mishpat. That's really what should be done. And the Torah Shebichtav is writing on the theoretical plane of absolute justice and the true justice that should really be implemented. Now, of course, on a practical level, when we Beis Din is not going to implement Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, we don't do that, obviously. But nevertheless, the Torah Shebichtav, in terms of the theoretical mishpat that he deserves, he doesn't deserve mamon. The chovel deserves to lose his eye. And the Torah Shebichtav is saying that's what really should happen. Okay, now why you don't do that, that's for our Gemara to try to explain. And that's what Torah Shebaalpeh is trying to explain. The Rambam himself says he has an explanation, Torah Shebaalpeh, of why that doesn't occur. But in theory, that really is the mishpat. Mishpat demands ayin tachas ayin. Mishpat does not allow. Pure mishpat doesn't allow mamon for an eye. You cannot get a guy's eye and pay mamon. That's not justice. Okay, that's not justice. And then the Rambam continues the end, which he says a cryptic problem. The Rambam says, yeah, but Shevis and Ripoy in Teresh Bechsav, it says, Rak Shifta Yitin Rapo Yirapay. Sounds like there is money. Right? And there he explains, because that's impossible to do it precisely. Since it's impossible to do it precisely, the Torah monetizes it, gives it Teshlumen. Okay, there's a couple problems with that. One is, in Ayin Tachas Ayin also, we're going to see the Gemara next week. It's not so easy to do Ayin Tachas Ayin precisely either. Okay. And the second thing is, if you're really going to say, according to Ashbich Sav, you do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, so shouldn't that necessarily include Shevis and Ripoy? Because the prisoner, the Chova, who loses his eye in retribution, now he should have doctor bills and he should have Shevis. But okay. So that we're not going to go into. I really wanted this to help us explain, to come back to our Gemara, the two points here. One is that Ayin Tachas Ayin is really mamish. That's strict mishpat. And the Torah allows slicha and mechila for every case, including, ultimately it seems, including even the case of chovel, certainly when there's mamon. And the only case it doesn't do it is by ritzicha, because of the chumrah of ritzicha. And the way I'm explaining is, Aris L'Yichupar, is the chumrah of ritzicha is it destroys society as a whole. It's not simply a crime against the victim, but it's something that's corrosive and destructive society as a whole. Okay, that's the Rambam Gemara Vukram. So Yaakov's question was, how is that strict justice when you knock out a guy's eye? Because it doesn't really help the injured party. Right? I mean, he loses his eye now, whatever, the other guy loses his eye. So, I mean, it seems like that the Rambam's idea of onesh and strict justice is based upon punishing the guy who did the crime, not based on compensating the victim. Real justice is ayin tachas ayin. And you know, if you could get in touch with your sense of real retribution and you know, revenge, that's why I listen to Rebbe Shir, revenge. Okay, that's really what should satisfy the injured party. What satisfies him is when you do to the guy, the aggressor, what he did to him, you know, and that's his compensation. That's better than money for him. When you knock out the other guy's eye, you know, that really makes him feel like justice was served. And it's a sense of justice that's really compensating him. But yeah, in terms of like practically the tashlum and the money, yeah, he lost his eye and he doesn't have any financial compensation, but his compensation is through justice. You know, it's that's a different type of a compensation, you know, and that's look, I mean, think about when your guy's killed, what's the justice? You killed the murderer. I mean, it doesn't bring back the other guy from the dead, but that's still that's justice. And that compensates the victim because you've killed the rotzeach. Okay. So that was question two. Why we give in to the emotion of revenge? Okay. So because, I mean, that was, again, Rabbi Shear. You got this amazing Shear. But he's saying that there's two aspects to revenge. There's like the interpersonal petty thing, and then there's the desire for justice. So revenge on a fundamental level is really justice, pure justice. And for example, we always describe God as taking revenge, right? Being Nokim, right? He takes revenge for Klal Yisrael. And, right, the Ava, I think it's the Ava Rachamim, that we in on Shabbos by Musaf, right, for the martyrs, and right, it's throughout it, it's all in Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, is that God takes revenge. So you see, revenge is not just like an emotion. It's revenge is pure justice. It's really pure justice. And the guy who really takes revenge, the highest level of taking revenge, which the Torah is asering, okay, that's where Rebbe's Chiddush was in that year of L'sikim V'L'sikter. The highest level of taking revenge is you're taking revenge because you want justice, pure justice. So the guy didn't lend you his axe, and you're saying, I'm not lending it to you either. Pure justice, okay? And that's what God does, and that's really mishpat. And there's not emotion, that's mishpat, it's good. The only thing is, the Torah is saying is that, you know, you could also get justice by being mochel. And the Torah says, essentially, don't try when you know, do justice when somebody else is involved. But when it's your, when you're the one harmed, be mochel. You know, don't take your measure for measure. Be mavral midosa. That leads to yishuv ha'olam. Because, you know, very often you'll find people, when it's they're the one harmed, so then, oh, we need justice, revenge, pure justice, you know. But when it's somebody else, it's like, look, this stuff happens. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? So it's like it becomes, the justice becomes a facade to really justify his own petty emotions and his desire for harming somebody, his aggressive instincts, things like that. So the Torah basically says the opposite. Pursue pure justice when it's somebody else who was harmed. But when you're harmed, be marvel midosav, because that's what leads to yishuv ha'olam. But really fundamentally, you know, revenge is a good thing. It's the proper thing. That's really mishpat. You know, it's not really, you know, you have to listen to that shir of Rebbe. It's not as bad as you think it is. You know, I mean, don't do it, and it's aser, but there is a concept. The fact that we describe God as taking revenge shows you that it's not intrinsically a bad thing. Is one thing from the Rambam is clear, is that true justice, it has to be precise, it has to be equal. It's not justice, say, he lost an eye and you lost money. So it's a type of justice because you both lost something, but real justice is exact. It's exact. And we'll see from the Gemaras later on, not today, but later on, it's like, that's the real concept of Ayin Tachas Ayin. It's precise. You know what I mean? It can't be, he lost an eye, you lose an arm. And that's, it's the idea of justice, exactly. And that's why you look in the Rambam by revenge. The Gemara, the case of Lo Sikom, taking revenge, is he wouldn't lend you his shovel, and now you say, no, I'm not going to lend you my shovel. It's like the exact same thing. That's the highest form of revenge, and that's real justice, okay? So it's justice brings into account precise, exact, equal, balanced, you know, the scales, like that's all built in the concept of pure justice. Now, we don't do pure justice in general. We use rachamim and thank God, you know what I mean? Because the world's not gonna live very long with pure justice, but that's built into the concept. That's one of the ideas that Rambam's really trying to bring out. Okay, so back to the Gemara on Pei Gimel and Beis. So basically, the first Gemara presents that two limudim, how you know Ayin Tachas Ayin is not mamish. So the first one is from Makeh Behema Yishalmena, and Makeh Adam. So it's a hekesh between Makeh Adam and Makeh Behema, and that just like Makeh Behema is Tashlumin, so too Makeh Adam is Tashlumin. And then the Gemara basically, okay, then now there's a problem with that limud. Right? Gemara ends up saying there's a problem with that limud. The Tana thought there's a problem with that limud. Is why are you comparing damaging a person to damaging an animal, even though they're both nezikin, but you should compare damaging a person to killing a person. Okay. So the question is, and then that's why it's to bring in the Rotzeach Pasuk. Okay. So let's first understand, if we just had the comparison to Behema, right? That it's basically just like Behema is Teshlumen, so too Makeh Adam is Teshlumen, right? So that what is that concept of why is it not Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish? Why are you shifting into this framework of Teshlumen based upon the comparison to Behema, right? Because they're both Nezek. They're both Nezek. So the first approach is essentially to say that the Torah's is, even though Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, it's true, that's nice, that's ideal justice, but the Torah is going to treat it essentially as in a financial framework. For whatever reason, it's not clear why the Torah did that, but it focused on the financial aspect that maybe it felt it could take care of. That's what it can do. And it basically translated into monetary framework and tashlumen and compensate the victim, right? There's that aspect in general of compensation. You want to compensate the victim, and there is financial loss suffered by Chovel. And basically the Torah says that just like Makah Behema, you got to deal with his financial loss and compensate him. So to Makah Adam, there's a financial loss suffered. Guy loses an eye, he loses a tooth. He has a financial loss suffered. He can't sell himself as an Eved Ivri or Eved Kanani, whatever it is. And therefore, Yishalmena basically pay money, compensate him for his loss. Okay, that's the first approach. That's the Tana's first approach. Okay, the problem is, the Tana says, is that's not Mistaver. Why would you do something like that? Right, why would you do that? Because really the better way to compare, when you knock out a guy's eye, it's not to really when you damage somebody's animal or even kill their animal. That is essentially a financial loss that the person suffers, property. But when you knock out his eye, essentially it's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro here. This is like an interpersonal attack. And it's much more comparable to Ritzicha because it's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Right, the initial move of the Tana is to say, whoa, Ritzicha is a totally different ball game. That's like a different phenomenon. That's just murder. What are you bringing that in for? But the approach that Tanis Kasha is that, yes, murder is different than Nezek, for sure. But on the other hand, is like the primary thing here is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, is that you're knocking out the guy's eye, you're killing the guy. And when you're dealing with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you can't make it a financial issue. You got to deal with the fact that you need real mishpat here. And real mishpat, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro demands, Ayin Techaz Ayin Mamash. It's got to be literal. And yes, by behema, you don't say destroy. If you destroy his animal, we destroy your animal, right? Why not? Why don't we do that? Why don't we say when if you destroy his animal, mishpat is to destroy your animal. Right? Well, is there any sense in not doing that? So yeah, the reason is because essentially an animal is, what's the difference between one animal, another animal, a different animal, money or a chair? I mean, it's all the same thing. These are fundamentally financial assets. And therefore, it makes the sense to do in Teshlumen. That accomplishes the most thing. What are you going to do? You can destroy this other guy's animal. What are you really accomplishing by that? Now, just the whole world is losing money. That's just basically destructive to society. You're destroying wealth of society. When you have a much better method is that the one who's a mazik loses the same amount of money that he caused the other guy to lose by paying the money. And the one who's nizak, he gets compensated. It's like a much better method. And this animal, it doesn't really make a difference. The Torah is willing to lose. Is it perfect justice? It's close enough, I would say, to perfect justice by saying that essentially what you did was a financial thing, and we don't got to pay attention to the particular that this was an animal as opposed to sheep versus a cow or versus money. You know, it's all the same. Pay him back by more or less what you did to him, and then that's you suffer the loss that you tried to inflict on him, and he gets compensated. That's by an animal. But by another mechavero, that's when you knock out his eye and money, that's not the same thing. That's not essentially a financial problem here. This is essentially Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. You destroyed a guy's eye. And that's much closer. It's much closer to murder in that sense. And by murder, we say mamish, literal, and nefesh tachas nefesh. So here too, we should say ayin tachas ayin mamish. Right? Okay. Okay. So then comes the Gzeir Sarkasov and says, L'sichu kofel nefesh otzeach asher rasha lamos. Right? That you don't say that, basically. You don't say, let's see, is there any other step? Let's see. No. Okay, so then, the Pasuk has L'sichu Kofer, that even though it's true, it seems like the Pasuk is justifying that equation, that really the proper comparison really should be to Rotzeach, because it's been Adon L'Chaveiro. But nevertheless, the Torah says that only by Rotzeach are you not allowed to take a kofer. But by Rosh Evarim and by Chovel, you could. Okay. So I think at this point, it's basically what we explained for the Rambam. I mean, we kind of gave the idea based on the Rambam. It's that by Rotzeach, it's V'aretz lo yechupar. B'dam ha-shoshocho, b'dam naki, maybe kim b'dam ha-shoshocho, is that you can't really, by Rotzeach, it's you can't just treat it. You can't take a kofar payment by Rotzeach for the same reason why you don't allow the victim to forgive him. Because nefesh, Rotzicha, demands blood for blood. right? Nefesh tachas nefesh. And that's the only real way to prevent the society from devolving into violence and crime and murder and having the murder rate be unacceptably high, right? And that doesn't mean everybody's going to kill everybody else, but it does mean that when you kill the murderer, that sends a message about how society looks at Ritzicha, tolerates Ritzicha, and if you allow him to buy his way out, it undermines the value of human life and what will happen in society. So just like you don't allow the victim to forgive him, you also don't allow the murderer to be pardoned through paying off money. Right? Let's see what else. Right. So I mean, I just wanted to make that equation that basically there's the element of introducing rachamim into the mishpat, that by if you always implement pure mishpat, so on the one hand, like you need mishpat in order for society to function. Without justice, society will break down, and you can't just always be forgiving everybody for everything they do, or letting people get away with things and second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Society will break down, and you need mishpat. And by Ritzicha, Torah demands pure mishpat. But if you just always demand pure mishpat, then that also leads to a breakdown. Society can't function with pure mishpat either. You need elements of rachamim. Okay, so if you just, whenever a guy knocks at an eye, you knock at his eye. And if you cut off his hand, you cut off his hand. If you just try to implement pure mishpat, you'll end up with a lot of people missing hands and missing eyes. You know, so by ritzicha, it's true. You know, that's one of the arguments against the death penalty. You say, look, one person's dead. Why have two people dead? But that's the Torah saying you can't sacrifice pure mishpat in this case. But in general, where you could modify mishpat by rachamim, you should. And that's definitely the Derech HaTorah. That's the Mi'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is when you could attenuate justice with mercy, you absolutely should as much as you possibly can. And the Torah says essentially allow kofar. Why have this other guy lose his eye? What are you going to really gain by that? Why have you lose his hand? You know, the first guy did lose it, but allow him to buy his way out. Allow a kofar payment. Allow me to sarachim him. Okay. By ritzicha, there's no me to sarachim him. Even if the victim is mochel, the Ram says, we're not mochel the rotzeh. Even if the rotzeh wants to buy his way out, you don't allow him to. There's no rachim. Pure mishpat is demanded. Nefesh achas nefesh. I don't care. No excuses. But by every other case, society as a whole is better off if you allow rachim him. If you don't just knock out the eye and cut off the hand of the chovel. Okay, and one form of rachamim is, now of course, the victim can be mochel, that of course works. But another form of rachamim is the idea of a kofar, of let him be poda to himself, let him redeem himself, buy back his hand, buy back his eye. Okay, by giving money to the nechbal. Okay, and that's exactly what I learned from Rotzeach, that part of the Gemara. Until we get to the last part of the Gemara, the Gemara shows you that even though there is a havamina to just say, let's deal with this financially, look at take care of the monetary loss, compensate the victim, right? Maka nefesh, maka adam, maka behema. But the Gemara is saying that's not mistaver. It's not really mistaver to compare it to chovel, to mazik, mamun chavero, where you damage his money. It's not really mistaver to make that comparison. The better comparison really would be to bet adam chavero is rotzeach. And when it's Ben al-Khaver, you demand pure mishpat. Even though it means comparing Nezik to Ritzicha, still the Gemara thinks at least that's as good, if not a better comparison. Okay? And then once you have that, you can bring in the Gzeir Sakasav, L'Sichu Kofar Nefesh Rotzeach, that for the Rotzeach, we don't allow any Rachamim and Pidi and Kofar, but by Echovel, we do. Okay, good? Okay. Then the Gemara moves on, then, you know, we're moving on at least, is so then if you have l'sichu kofar nefesh rotzeach, so then why do you need the comparison maka adam maka behema? What do you need that for? Right, just have by rotzeach, you can't take a kofar, but by chovel you could. And then I know it's not mamish, it's mamon. Right, so the Gemara says the reason is because I would have thought there's an optionality, you have a choice. Do you want to lose your eye, or do you want to pay the money? So it could be there's such a thing as a person who says, look, I like my money, and I don't want to, I'll give up my eye. I, whatever, I have another one. But money, it's not so easy to make money. So there are people like that. There are people who like their money more than their, right? More than their eye, more than their body. Right? Isn't that the I think Rashi's pshat in Shema Yivahafte Yisra Shemakecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nashukhol me'odecha. Right? All your heart, all your soul. Right? I mean, even if you have to give up your life for Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kiddush Hashem, and b'chol me'odecha, and even your money, right? The me'odecha means money. Why is the Torah called me'odecha money? Right? Because me'od, right? Me'odecha means is a way of referring to money, because it's more, right? The way you refer to money is something more. So you always want more, 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 more. That's why money is called me'odecha, you're more. So why is it put that last? If you have to give up your life for Kiddush Hashem, Kol Shekein, you have to give up your money, right? But it's not so pashut, because there's a person who his money is more chaviv to him than even his life. Right? Is it a little crazy? You know, it's a psychology by Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Is that the correction that Moshe made to them? First, they say Gidros so nivne le miknayam, we'll build pens and for our animals, and then we'll build cities for our wife and children. So Moshe corrected them. Said, no, that's not the right order. First, you take care of your wife and children, then take care of your money. Okay, but you see that people's priorities in life. There's two ways of looking at it. One way to look at it is, it sounds like the Torah's perspective is their values are screwed up, where they place money above, you know, wife, children, their own life, things like that. You know, the nicer way to say it is that these things are subjective. So therefore you have to deal with different personalities, you know, but I guess your perspective, it seems the Torah is saying based upon Moshe Rabbeinu that it is subjective, but there is an objectively proper subjective way to value these things, you know, so. Okay. In any event, so that's what you think. There's an optionality. Is really ayin tachas ayin is literally should be mamash. That's midas din, and the Torah allows for the existence of mishpat gamor, pure mishpat. That would be that take out his eye, but it has an opening for rachamim. If you want to, we'll accept a kofar payment, and you could save your eye and buy out your eye by paying off the money. Right. That's what I would have said if I just had losikku kofar. Comes the Gzeiras HaKasa of Maka Adam Maka Behema and teaches you that no, that's going to be, it has to be Tashlum, and you don't have the choice of Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamash anymore. Okay, and why not? So I think is what you guys were suggesting before in the Rambam, that why the Torah did this, is that but when you destroy his animal and you pay for his animal, that's really pure Mishpat also, because he suffered financial loss, you suffer financial loss. And in the Mishpat, you compensate him for his loss. So it's a wonderful mishpat. Okay, so, but the Torah comparing Maka Adin to Maka Behema, it's saying that when you do the kofar payment, instead of doing Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, but you have the kofar payment, the padiyah on your eye, when you do it in that form, there's also a kiyum of tashlumin, of compensating the victim, of, you know, you're not compensating him through the pure mishpat, but you're compensating him in a practical financial matter. And in a practical society, that's a better method of compensating him than the compensation of the pure mishpat. Okay, so I think, you know, that the Torah is demanding that, and even though I think that it's possible that you'll have certain victims who would prefer the Ayin Tachas Ayin literally, but the Torah didn't give the chovel the choice. And I was just thinking now, what couldn't it have been if either one of them wants to opt for pure mishpat, do pure mishpat? If the chovel wants pure mishpat, then, and the victim says, yeah, that's what I want, then do it that way. I mean, if the whole reason why Torah forces, takes away the option, that's kind of what I'm trying to say here. The idea I'm trying to say is that the reason that Torah took away the option of pure mishpat, of ayin tachas ayin mamish, from the chovel, and basically said forced it into tashlumin, is because the victim might prefer the money over the ayin tachas ayin of the chovel. But I'm just wondering now, couldn't you have had a system where either one could have opted for tashlumin? The reason why the Torah gives the option to the chovel is because losichu kofar, is that we want rachamim, introduce an element of rachamim. Don't knock out his eye. What are you doing knocking out his eye? Have rachamim on the guy. Let him be podet. Let him be pay a kofar. Let him buy his way out. So that's the rachamim. You got to give him the choice, because of only the rotzeach you show no mercy for. But for everybody else, show mercy. Give him the option. But What I was trying to say is the reason why you don't give him the option and you force him to pay is because the Nechbal would really might want money. He want money to be compensated. His eyes, he lost a tremendous amount of money and he wants the compensation. What are you gonna, what does it help me if you knock out his eye? Well, that doesn't really help me. Now, you know, some people that might really make them feel better, but some people they're thinking like you guys are thinking practically, it doesn't really help me. So that's why, you know, I thought for the victim, he's going to want the money. So that's why Torah forces you to pay the money. You know, but on the other, I'm just saying if that was really the Svara, then there should be this option of Ayin Tam. It could be, I mean, it's not a beautiful answer, but like once it's like too complicated a system here that this guy gets the option. And, but if as long as that guy doesn't override him, it's gotta be like, they both agree. It's at this point, just don't do Ayin Tachasayin anymore. Forget about it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's a shot. It's, I don't know. It's like once you have these two elements, is that it could very well be their victim would prefer the money, and it could be that the chovel would prefer to pay the money. Maybe it's more mistaver in both cases. So the Torah basically just says, forget Ayin Tachasayin. Let's show rachman on the chovel and try to compensate the victim. And I, there could be scenarios where the victim wants pure justice and the chovel would rather he keep his money than whatever. In those cases, the Torah just says, you know, let's keep it uniform. Mishpat Echad, you'll see, comes in later and Torah drops it. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. If there's a strong idea of why the Torah takes away. That's the problem, is why is the Torah taking away that optionality? Because of the hekesh of Maka Adam to Maka Behema. I mean, my argument is because the victim might prefer it, but shouldn't they just argue to introduce the option for the victim also? Okay, so we're leaving that original question, and now we're moving to the Marsha has a different girsa, that there's the Gemara is not sure who has the optionality. Right? The combined optionality seems to be not possible. I don't know why, but maybe it's too complicated. I'm not sure. But his other thing is who has the option. His pshat is that the first Lishna, according to him, the Marshal, is that the first Lishna wants to give the optionality to the victim. Is that the victim, if I just have a Sikha Kofar, I would say that the victim has the option. He can either demand pure justice, Ayin Tachas Ayin, if that's what makes him feel good, or he could opt out for the money. He could have the choice. Let's let him choose. It's similar to the case of the Mechila. Like the Torah allows Midas HaRachamim to be applied. By Rotzeach, the Torah is saying there's no, even if like the Rambam, is that even if the victim is Mocha Lagamri, I don't care, kill the Rotzeach. Even if the victim says pay money to buy your way out, and the family says pay money, buy your way out, we don't care. There's no kofar. You don't allow the family or the victim to introduce Rachamim either through Mechila or through kofar or anything like that. But by Chovel, if the victim says I prefer money as opposed to taking out this guy's eye, so then we should say, okay, pay money instead. It's an element of Rachim. Let him be Merachim. Right? That's the Havamina. It's actually a pretty good Havamina. It's almost like more Mistaver in a certain sense. As opposed to giving the Chovel the option. The Chovel the option, they have to say it's based upon a crazy guy who prefer money over his eye. Okay, there's such a thing. I brought a couple of Rayas that exists. The Torah recognizes the phenomenon. But this other Pshat is pretty good also. Is that basically you allow the Nechbal to be Mochel. By Mochel, but not Legamri, but Mochel in the sense of as opposed to taking out the Chovel's eye, he'll accept money in compensation. And it could be he'll prefer it. Kamash Milan, Mak Adam Maka Behema, that he doesn't get that the victim does not have the option of pure Mishpat, but the Torah demands, the Torah allows Tashlumen, forces the framework of Tashlumen. And if that's the case, then I would say that it's a little bit easier. Why the Torah do that is because of the for the Rachamim to the Chovel. Because it's just, why destroy the other guy's eye? What are you really accomplishing? You know, then you don't really have this problem as much. Then you assume, basically, that, you know, then you, according to this girsa, the problem, the maskan is very good, is essentially you would think that we allow the victim to introduce rachamim and to accept the kofar payment, but if he wants pure mishpah, that's his choice. Kamash malon, maka the maka behema, that we force him to be merachim and accept the kofar payment, because of Racham on the Chovel. And they don't get this question, well, what if the Chovel wants to lose his eye instead of money? Was he a nut? It's like, doesn't exist. It's such an aberration. You don't have to consider it. The reason the first pshat had that problem is because the Torah is dealing with a case of a guy who prefer his money over his eye. So then we can't ignore that possibility that maybe everybody wants guy prefers his money over his eye. So he wants Ayin Dechashayin Matmish the Chovel. and maybe the Nechba wants that too. That's where we ran into that problem. But if you say this Lishna of the Rashal, then you basically can just discount that. Say it's such a crazy thing that a guy would rather keep his money and lose his eye that the Torah doesn't have to deal with it. You know what I mean? The first pshat, we were forced into it because that was the very Havamin itself. Here, we can just ignore it. You know what I mean? There's no reason to even bring it up. Okay, but then they understand the method is essentially Torah saying, Maka the Makbema, let's be Merachim on the Chobel. Is don't do Ayin Tachasan. What are you accomplishing? Okay, and therefore allow it to be Tashlumin. It's a kofar payment. It still partakes of Ayin Tachasan because it's a kofar payment. It's not pure financial restitution, but it is a kofar payment. Really, he deserves Ayin Tachasan Mamish. Okay. You can't just discount the other Lishna because I think even the Rashal is learning that there's two Lishnas. You have kind of have to work it out according to both Lishnas. But whatever, we tried our best. Okay, good.